This is Machete with a special Cinco de Mayo message to Arizona.
They called him Machete. He was given an offer he couldn't refuse. Set up, double cross, and left for dead. He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys. But they soon realize they just fucked with the wrong Mexican. Machete.
Hey there, action fans. We are here at the opening night of Iron Man 2 at the Ziegfeld Theater. I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Producer Mike.
And there is no one here at the theater.
This is very scary.
It's truly astounding, and I'm depressed. I'm sad. I feel sad for Iron Man, I feel sad for Jon Favreau, and I feel sad for movies.
I mean, when I was thinking that we were going to do a live broadcast at the premiere on Thursday night here, I thought it was just going to be mayhem, but there is no one here.
silly Producer Mike, you thought there would be excitement?
Yeah, no, I don't know what I expected from Iron Man 2.
You thought there would be people here? Can we interview these?
Let's talk to two people who are one of the two people that are here.
Hello, I am one of the two people that is here.
Actually, let's be fair, 11 people.
All right.
Do you think it's some of the online piracy of the Iron Man movie that perhaps contributes to this?
The piracy, but I'm also thinking that the midnight showing is a more recent development.
Recent as far as the last 6 years or 7 years?
Well, Star Wars kind of did the whole midnight thing. I've done Star Wars, at midnight a bunch of times. And that was a big deal because, first Star Wars movie in, years and years and years. But then every theater, every movie started doing it.
Right.
And it's kind of oversaturated.
Maybe it became less cool because it was so saturated.
Yeah, I mean, do you really need a midnight showing for Sex and the City 2? I hear that they're planning packages for, women to, go out and have dinner and then go see Sex and the City 2.
It's just very interesting. I'm sort of speechless, and I'm saddened by this.
Yeah, let's talk once this is all over and done, and we can see for sure if we're the only 40 people here, or if we do actually manage to at least somewhat fill the upper deck a little bit. But
I think that's a good intro to the break. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll review Iron Man 2.
Okay, we are back in the action room, and it is about 3 in the morning. We just got out of Iron Man 2.
And people did end up showing up. There wasn't that many, but enough that we felt good about it.
We had maybe about 80 people in the theater, which seats 1,000 or some obscene amount.
Dude, it was awesome.
It's pretty fantastic.
I mean, I'm just, I thought it was, I actually thought it was better than the first one, to be honest. For me, it was just perfect. I don't want to do any spoilers, but I just thought it was fucking amazing. Go ahead.
It's really fantastic. I think writing-wise and character-wise, it is better than the first one. I think a lot of the criticisms that are being levied at the film are that it's true that it's not as action-packed. It's more of a character piece, but that works. I think it's fantastic. It's sharp. The humor and the writing is as good or better than the humor and the writing in the first one. The characters are much more fleshed out.
Now, let's just, the last few people remaining in the lobby, let's just really quickly see what they thought of it. Real quick, what did you think of it?
Well, it kicked my ass.
Awesome. And you are, again, remind everybody, because you were in the last segment here.
Yeah, and I'm back again because I never leave. Ian Levinstein, Comic Timing, yada, yada, yada. I thought it was great. A little bit not nearly as good as the first one, but still excellent.
Why do you feel not as good as the first one?
I think the first one actually had more character building, to be completely honest.
You think? I mean, don't you think there were some great funny scenes and great character development that continued from the last one into this?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. It's just, it felt like they were trying to do maybe like one too many things at once here. Like, I mean, I love Black Widow, don't get me wrong. I don't know if we really needed her yet.
Right.
I mean, we could have done without that plot line, had more time for Tony, And yes, apparently she's a slut. I don't know.
Is she a slut?
She's stuck with Daredevil, Iron Man, Captain America, both Captain Americas, Thor even, I think, once. Forsooth, I must hit it that.
What's the overall review of it? Did you like it? Not.
You know, I kind of get why people may not think it's as good as the first one, but it is immensely awesome. It is probably still one of the top five comic book movies out there. I think Iron Man's got two of the top five slots. So, yeah.
Female perspective.
I thought it was good. Not as good as the first one, but that's because, as I am off-quoting, John Favreau made Iron Man in a cave with a box of spare parts! Because, you know, that movie was totally improv, and this one had more of, like, a script. And I don't feel it had a lot of as many quotable lines as the first one. But, and also I'm kind of sick of seeing the whole, let's fight a guy in armor just like mine plot line.
So what do you want to see next in the third one?
And the third Iron Man, the one that John Favreau says he can't write yet.
Oh, he'll be back.
Mandarin! Yes!
Cantonese!
Yellow Peril!
We didn't see a single hint of Mandarin, whereas in the first one they started to set it up.
Yeah. Well, I think they felt like they needed to get the whole Avengers thing going first before they actually go all Mandarin on us. But that's got to be the third.
Interesting.
Iron Man was 6 out of 5. This was 4.5 out of 5. Doesn't mean it was a bad movie, just not nearly as good as the first.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
The fan perspective here?
Yes. No, I really thought it was fantastic. The way Scarlett Johansson was handled, it's funny, you never hear the words Black Widow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to spoil, but it's not a big deal. But she's understated, she's not a tremendous presence. It's more like she's a small supporting character, but it's great the way they handle her, it's great that she's there. Sam Rockwell is one of the best performances in the movie. I mean, they're all amazing, but Sam Rockwell really gets to strut his stuff.
Okay, they're kicking us out, so we'll be back right back with the nerd news.
You know, the New York Times gives you all the news that's fit to print. But they never give you the
nerd news.
Is that true? They never put any kind of geeky news in the New York Times?
In recent years, they have a few comic book loving writers and sci-fi geeky movie writers on staff that occasionally will do things, but they don't give you the nerd news. Come on.
Do you think the founding fathers would have been geeks? I think they were.
Maybe only Benjamin Franklin.
Okay.
He would have been a tech geek. You know, because he was all about the technical devices.
Maybe. I mean, all those early inventors were pretty much geeks, basically.
Thomas Edison? I
mean, yeah.
Right?
I'm going to go
Edison.
Out and, you know, make this. Or Benjamin Franklin, what are you doing with a key on a string? I mean, you know. Like,
I'm going to electrify my iPad with lightning. All right, so in the nerd news, it's funny that since we just saw Iron Man 2, Sam Rockwell, who played Justin Hammer to great effect in Iron Man 2, he just joined the cast of the Jon Favreau movie Cowboys and Aliens, which is just another great thing for Cowboys and Aliens.
We just had Fred Van Lente in the last episode,
writer of the original graphic novel.
And I'm just so happy Sam Rockwell is finally getting his due.
Yes.
I mean, he kind of has over the years, but
it
now
it took Moon,
everybody.
I think, for it to really
hit.
Yeah,
definitely.
He's amazing in the Chuck Barris Gong Show movie, which is called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. That's when I was really like, that's a tour de force movie. Please go rent that. Anyway, speaking of tour de force movies, on Cinco de Mayo, Robert Rodriguez, wonderful maverick filmmaker that he is, put out a special Cinco de Mayo message with a special trailer of its new movie, Machete.
Dude, I said in a tweet that I cried a little. Again, it might have been my allergies, but I'm serious. I was so... This impacted me even more than the Kick-Ass trailer.
Yeah.
I am so excited about this. And
it looks amazing.
You said that they took it down.
Yeah, it's almost not available on the internet anymore. We had to really search around for it on YouTube.
But the premise was that they allowed Rodriguez to show
do this
it for
just
one
for
day.
Cinco de Mayo.
And but we could still find it, and you probably still can.
But...
I mean, oh, fuck, it just never ends. Robert De Niro, Steven Seagal, fucking Lindsay Lohan. And, I mean, now this comes from the original trailer.
Don Johnson.
Don and Johnson.
Says, and introducing Don right? Johnson.
Like, where's he been?
Reintroducing the public to this guy.
But, no, it's just like, for anybody
who... Rodriguez has such a great sense of humor.
Yeah,
it's
no, definitely.
Just, it looks like joyous filmmaking.
But, and again, I just wanted to say, for anybody who doesn't know who Don Johnson is, he was from Miami Vice.
In the 80s.
In the 80s, yeah. But and what was it? He did that other show with Cheech Marin, actually.
What?
There was a sick kind of a dramedy cop show with Don Johnson and Cheech Marin.
Okay.
Fuck, I don't remember what it, but I think
it obviously didn't register much on the
It was a pretty big hit. But anyway,
I remember him from TV miniseries after Miami Vice.
But Grindhouse they did a fake trailer for Machete.
Yeah.
And
it's actually getting made.
And now it's getting made. And it just looks, oh man.
I love De Niro cast as like a Republican senator. I just think that's great casting. And it's a refreshingly different role for De Niro.
Yeah. And it kind of, that kind of political sequence reminds me of Taxi Driver a little bit,
right.
You know? So.
And maybe the Arizona immigration law, but you have to present your papers or you will be killed. maybe this will, like, create a populist hero for opponents of that immigration law.
I mean, do you think it'll get, like, political? Like, you think
This is going to be a massive movement, I think.
Cool.
Anyway, speaking of movies that are brand new...
Wait. And by the way, so September 3rd,
opens?
Yeah, we got to wait all the way to September 3rd.
Just before my birthday, Machete will open.
And remind me, Tony, to not see any more trailers. About this. This is all I get to see. I'm psyched,
you
but
don't
I can't
be
ruined.
In any way.
So if you learn anything about this movie, although I think it's all in the trailer right there, but if you learn anything more... Please don't.
I will not speak a syllable to you about it. Now, speaking of modern movies that are going to feel like old 70s movies, there's a new sort of 70s retro remake sensibility in the air. And they're all like thriller, horror, you know, suspense, schlock, exploitation movies.
Schlock
exploitation.
Would be the word,
That's my new genre.
Is schlock a mix of two words? Like
schlock is no. It's
it's a Jewish or
schlock?
Yiddish kind
right.
of.
We should look up the etymology of
Shlomo
schlock.
And
Shlomo the Schlockmeister. In any case, this is a movie that producer Mike discovered because of a viral marketing trailer starring Jerry O'Connell and sort of parodying the Girls Gone Wild videos.
And the
right?
Joe Francis character, who's the guy who created Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah. Okay. Producer Mike told me about this. He goes, there's this Piranha 3D thing, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, is that a net channel? What's Piranha 3D? I don't understand what this is. I can't watch it.
And the, we didn't.
So I find out that it's a movie.
But I had to, when I Twittered it, I had to put the, what is it, NFSW? Not safe
for work.
For work, because it basically looks like a Girls Gone Wild site, but it's with Jerry O'Connell. And it's.
And at first I was like, you better make it clear that it's a movie and we're just not putting porn up on the action room.
Not that there'd be anything wrong with that. But just if you want to see that, it's thewildwildgirls.com.
Oh, really? They gave it its own domain name.
But it's August 27th. I can't wait. And it's Piranha 3D. Now, the original one's from 1978.
And it's about killer piranha.
Yeah.
It's like a horror thriller movie.
And Alexandre Aja, which
aha,
is a...
Aha, aha. That's how we pronounce that, yes. Like, take on me, take on me.
The French director who did High Tension, which I thought was a great movie.
Most people don't know that, though. The one they're going to know...
But The Hills Have Eyes remake.
The Hills Have Eyes.
And then, most recently, Mirrors, but I didn't
see
that
either. With
Kiefer
Sutherland. I only saw the commercials for it. But he's a very good horror director.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. And he goes extreme, but he's also funny.
Yeah.
Like, it should be really awesome.
So it stars Elizabeth Shue... Very unlikely list of cast here. Elizabeth Shue, Christopher Lloyd, where has he been? Eli Roth, we know where he's been. Ving Rhames, we don't know where he's been. Richard Dreyfuss, the fact that they got Richard Dreyfuss for an aquatic horror-themed movie, I just think is brilliant because, of course, of Jaws. And Jerry O'Connell.
And the what's interesting is
who's very happily married to Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, like you're talking about with these two films, it's like... This kind of schlocky 70s thing it's interesting because it's bringing back a lot of these 70s actors or 80s actors that we haven't seen, which is very much like a signature of Tarantino and Rodriguez.
Yes, it's like a comeback vehicle.
And so I hope all these people come back. One thing I was remembering is...
Dude, Elizabeth Shue was hot, and she was a good actress.
And she was Adventures in Babysitting. Right?
Leaving Las Vegas. Yeah. Adventures in Babysitting in Vegas.
No, but the Piranha in 3D. Now, you don't remember this film. This was from 1978.
I've only dimly heard of it.
Well, the thing that I was mixing up, there's another film called Parasite from 1982, and that's Demi Moore's like first film. And
is it about water parasites?
You know what? I don't even remember.
It just starts with P.
But it is in 3D. Now, which plays into what was, in 1982, that was the big boom, or 1983, of all the 3D movies.
A mini boom, yeah.
The first one. And I remember seeing it. My grandparent, I don't know what she was thinking. I was eight. My grandmother took me with my great aunt, and I was fucking scared the whole time. And how do you block yourself from, like, 3D, you know? Like, you can't. You're just so scared. It's like,
there's no escape.
But anyway, so the trailer for the new one, as far as remakes go, Alexandra Aja, he seems to be doing good at remakes.
Oh, there's a trailer other than Girls Gone Wild?
Oh, yeah, there's an actual trailer, and it looks really good.
For Piranha 3D.
It looks actually really good.
Is it called Piranha 3D, or is it Piranha... Yeah. In 3D.
I think it's Piranha 3D.
Okay.
So,
but it's not Piranha 3.
See, that's the thing. There is a Piranha 2, though.
What?
Yeah. That was like 1980 or 90.
Which is like
a
direct-to-video?
Probably something. But what's funny about the 3D is, you know, that's really what the 3D movies should be. It should be the really great Avatar ones and the schlockmeister
crap. Yeah.
That's it, you know. But anyway.
Okay. And I'm sure they're going to redo House of Wax in 20 years.
Probably, yeah.
The original 3D movie. Then there was the remake with Paris Hilton. I want to see House of Wax 2040.
Yes, with Lady Gaga.
With Lady Gaga as a 70-year-old. So, okay. So moving on in the nerd news. Unless I misread this article, I do not believe I did. But first of all, we have confirmation that Hugo Weaving will be playing the Red Skull in the Captain America movie, which is great news.
No, that's good. Now, what are they going to do with his head? They're just going to, like, make CG over his head?
No, or? I think it's going to be...
So was the Red Skull always a skull, or what?
No, it's a guy who is a protege of Hitler.
Yeah.
He's almost... It's funny, I never really thought about this, but he is the Nazi Captain America.
Right.
And he's not that he's super strong.
He's kind of like Jesse James.
What?
Jesse James is known for being...
Oh, being pro-Nazi. His mistress has all the pro-Nazi
things. Sandra Bullock, Jesse James.
Right. No, I knew that, but I didn't know he was Nazi. I thought he just sleeps with women who are into Nazis.
Both, yeah.
Okay. No, the Red Skull is a person who's very, very pro-Hitler. Hitler personally selects him to be the symbol and the mastermind of so many Nazi plans. The Red Skull was never really super strong. He's just a brilliant scheming mind.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the Red Skull in the comics throughout history has always been kind of like cliche evil guy.
But I mean, how does he become a skull, though?
It's a mask.
Oh, it's just a mask.
It's a mask.
It's
but
not
it's
really
like
a
very lifelike, terrifying mask.
Ah, okay.
So what I think they'll do, this is the Tony Wolf prediction, and we can mark this down. I think it'll be a really good special effects mask with a little bit of CGI maybe to enhance the mask a little bit.
Hmm.
But I guess the question will be, for the world of the movie, for the characters, is it a guy with a mask, or does the mask get to have, like, expression to some small degree, in which case it can't just be a mask? But
cool.
We'll see. So anyway, not only was Hugo Weaving cast, but like I said, unless I misread this press release, they've changed the title from The First Avenger, Captain America, to Captain America, The First Avenger, which
retarded.
I applaud. I mean, both are retarded, both are silly, but it's much better to have the First Avenger be the subtitle than be the pre-title.
No, it's true. I'm not even sure why. I mean, I guess we talked about why they were doing that originally.
I think it's pointless, and I think other podcasts and other fans have commented on this. There's no reason to brand it as this is the First Avenger.
So,
by that point, everyone will love the Avengers anyway.
So here's the prediction. By the time it comes out, they
no
drop
subtitle.
The First Avenger.
Yeah.
Okay.
First Avenger! It just sounds so cheesy.
Yeah.
Anyway, also in the world of comic book films, they're going to bring the X-Men movies back with a film called X-Men First Class, which was originally a Marvel comic.
I wanted to ask you, now, who is the First Class?
Okay, the First X-Men. They may change this a little bit for the movies,
mm-hmm.
but the First X-Men, the original five, are the Beast, the Angel, Iceman, Cyclops, and Jean Grey.
So literally, an X-Men movie without Wolverine. That's...
Well, probably, yeah.
You don't think they're going to fudge it a little
they
bit?
They could
put Wolverine?
Fudge the continuity, yeah.
I don't know, man. X-Men without Wolverine.
They'll probably have a scene where they meet teenage Wolverine in a bar.
right.
right. And say, in 20 years, we'll see you.
So, I mean, is that what do you think about that? Is that an interesting storyline? I mean, for honestly, seeing as what we've seen already, is almost like a reboot, I
there's
guess?
No storyline. Yeah. It's not a reboot. It's a prequel
right.
of sorts. But they're going to have their own prequel continuity that doesn't necessarily have to confirm mm-hmm. with the three X-Men movies that we all know.
Right, right.
It's going to sort of exist in its own bubble. I'm sure they're also going to bring in, as cameos or supporting characters, like they did with the Wolverine mm-hmm. Solo movie, other X-Men characters in that world.
Right, right, right.
Maybe they will even go beyond the original
five. It seems, though, what they did with Deadpool, they kind of will do whatever they want, it seems yeah. like.
It doesn't have to conform to some continuity.
Right.
You know, as for... This is one of those concepts. It's only going to work if it's done extremely well.
Right, right, right.
And they brought in Matthew Vaughn, who, of course, directed Kick-Ass, and also a couple of other great films.
And then, speaking of Kick-Ass...
Right, well, the Kick-Ass sequel has been announced. And, of course, first it'll be a comic book by Mark Miller / Millar.
Right.
And he's announced...
I like to call him Mylar.
Mark
ahead.
Mylar. That's we should just call him that in general, so I don't have to keep saying that. //. He's announced that he's going to come out with his own British comic anthology series, almost like a magazine.
But what's Kick-Ass 2? It's called Balls to the Wall.
Yes,
right?
It'll be okay. Kick-Ass 2, Balls to the Wall. Not Walls.
He's shameless.
Wall singular.
He's shameless. He just
Mark Mylar is care. Totally shameless. He knows catchphrases work.
Right.
He knows... We've always said that Mark Mylar channels his inner 11-year-old, you know, with every project he does, basically.
And therefore all of our inner 11-year-old.
Yes, he's no dummy, Mark Mylar. And so he's putting this together. Now, in the world of UK comics, there were several very notable anthology comics magazines in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
One was called Eagle, and the other was called, I believe, Warrior. And Warrior is where Alan Moore... cut his artistic eye teeth
okay.
and debuted.
The Watchmen writer?
Right. He did the Miracle Man series, Marvel okay. Man in the UK.
So this new one is called...
He's trying to make it be the new great anthology, and it's
right.
going to be called Clint. But the reason it's called Clint
right.
is eternally in the history of comic books, because most lettering in comics is all capital,
mm-hmm.
when you put C-L-I-N-T, it looks like C-U-N-T. It
Go
looks
ahead.
Like see you next Tuesday.
Go ahead. Tony,
it looks like cunt, you fucking cunt. Anyway, so
no,
Mark
Mylar
knows that everyone in the UK uses that phrase like we use the phrase "damn"
right,
here.
Right.
Like it's like it's nothing over there. It's just omnipresent, which is why he made sure to get one in
right.
in the Kick-Ass movie.
And the and that was funny because a few episodes back we talked about that with suck, but we said slick. You can't say slick in comics because it
right.
looks like suck.
Anything so. Basically with an L and an I next to each other
slick.
Looks like a U.
Yeah.
And so many key curse words or naughty words have a U in the middle.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, how many can we name them?
There's a thing in comedy, by the way. Neil Simon, a lot of the great comedy writers would talk about this. And I saw something last year that referenced this. There's something perhaps in our DNA as humans that percussive sounds, especially a K,
mm-hmm.
sound either funny or naughty.
I wonder
you know,
why...
Fuck, suck,
I wonder why
duck. That sounds wonder, really naughty. Duck.
Well, I wonder why cock isn't cuck.
Cock it also fits.
No, but it could have been C-U-C-K. That's
if
weird
only that. It was cuck. We're going to start that. That will be the action room.
Because that won't
new
be a
phrase.
That's not a curse.
You're cooking, bastard!
Suck my cock.
No. If it's synonymous with cock, it doesn't work. It has to be something
oh,
else.
Oh, okay.
Cuck.
Right. It's
like cuckold in the Middle Ages.
Right, right.
To cheat on someone's spouse.
And what was it? Conan started a fake curse word
oh, did he?
During the 90s. It was a
what was it?
Crunk. Or something.
Crunk?
Yeah, and I remember...
See, it has the U and the K.
Right, exactly.
He knew.
And he was able to... He was trying to find a way to curse on TV without actually cursing.
Well, Joss Whedon created... I think he did the word... I think this has been done before, too, but he did the word shock.
Oh, okay.
Shock. I've seen science fiction things do this. Maybe it wasn't Whedon.
Yeah.
But that shocking, you know...
Yeah.
And Battlestar Galactica, of course, has frack.
Frack.
Fracking
okay.
instead of...
And Smurfs
fracking.
Have Smurf.
Smurf is everything. Smurf this, Smurfy, Smurf, Smurf.
What do we think?
Maybe the new Smurf movie will make jokes about that.
Yeah, right.
And in Firefly 2, to get around the idea of cursing, they have them curse in Mandarin. And wow. They would literally, the show's writers would be in the writer's room and think, okay, we're going to write the phrase, fuck you and your goat-loving gorilla-fucking mother. And they would send that to a translator who would translate that into Mandarin. And then the actors would get trained in how to pronounce that as closely as they could to Mandarin. So they would be saying these horribly obscene things.
And that was allowed.
On national television.
Wow.
But it was in Mandarin. Anyway, all right, there was so much movie news this week, it's hard to get it all in, but they announced a Dark Crystal sequel, finally. It's been discussed for many years.
It's called The Power of the Dark Crystal.
Yes.
And it's spun by the Spielberg brothers.
Which looks like Spielberg when you first see it in text. And they directed the movie Daybreakers, the vampire movie.
With Ethan Hawke.
And also I just hiccuped. And also some other movie that I didn't see, but was moderately successful. And there's also plans to make a Doctor Strange movie, which apparently may have been on IMDb for a while.
There's literally nothing on the IMDb page.
No, there is a plot summary.
Oh, really?
I noticed a plot summary that there's another Marvel superhero group called the Defenders, and there's an entire 3-paragraph plot summary of what may or may not, I guess it's official, but what may be Marvel's pitch for a Defenders movie.
Okay.
The idea is that the Avengers would be like the mainstream superheroes, and the Defenders would be like the X-Files, weird, eccentric superheroes.
Defenders are made up of who?
Oh, in the comics, they're a weird roster. In the Defenders, it's the Hulk, Valkyrie, who's like a female Thor kind of character.
Right.
Namor the Submariner. My God, Hellcat sometimes is in the Defenders. Doctor Strange is in the Defenders.
So,
and sometimes the Silver Surfer is in the Defenders.
Oh, that's cool. So Namor would be a cool movie. I think.
They've talked about making a Namor movie as recently as 3 years ago, but it's funny, they attached a director to a Namor movie 3 years ago, and then you never heard about it again.
Well, I just know that whoever's in it, I hope they put Richard Dreyfuss in it.
As Namor.
As somebody as Namor.
Yeah.
I mean, because
he's
got to
be in all the water movies.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for the nerd news. So many great things, and wow, I'm tuckered out.
Yeah, man, that was, I can't believe we stayed up this late to do the show.
And I can't believe you're going to edit this show in 3 hours.
Well, we'll see. As of yet, I haven't.
Yes.
But hopefully
all right. So, of course, we are the Action Room fans, and we've got new shows for you every Monday and Friday. Like clockwork, we have never missed a show. Not even on a national holiday. Not even on Christmas.
Yeah, and our next one is going to be Mother's Day, and
Mother's
we're still going to do it.
Mothers bite the dust for the sake of the Action Room.
And so, right now, see Iron Man today. Enjoy it. And,
big weekend for Iron Man. And please look up on YouTube the Machete trailer. I'm sure you can find it.
Definitely.
So thanks very much for joining us. We'll have an awesome episode next episode. And have a good one.